So on this day of pranks and tomfoolery, let's focus on the more visceral piece of April 1st, surprises. What happens to us psychologically and physiologically when a surprise is being sprung on us? What does that feel like? What did it feel like if it's already been done to you today? We're joined by Tanya Luna, co-author of Surprise, Embrace the Unpredictable and Engineer the Unexpected. Tanya researches surprise, has given TED Talks on surprise, and co-founded Surprise Industries. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you very much.
So exploring surprise, I mean, how's that different from, you know, boo? How's that different from just shocking someone?
Yeah, well, shock is actually part of the surprise spectrum, we like to say. So it's just one kind of surprise. Surprise is categorized as something essentially unexpected or misexpected. So it's anytime you were wrong and your brain tells you about it.
And is this a part of the sort of fight or flight, you know, wiring in the brain? Is this something we're, you know, wired to run away from? Or do we yearn for surprises? Do we like surprise in our life?
Yeah, really good question. So what happens in the brain when we're surprised is something we call the surprise sequence. So the first thing that happens is we freeze. So it's a strong neural alert basically telling us something is important about this moment right here. You didn't know about this. You have to pay attention. So our cognitive resources are just hijacked and pulled into the moment. So that's one of the things that's really uncomfortable for some people, but also exciting for some people because your attention is just completely in the moment. Next thing that happens is we call it find. So this is the part where you get extremely curious and you're just trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening here. So we're curious, we're wondering. Next thing is shift. So if the surprise is something that forces you to change your perspective, then you have to change the way you've been looking at things. So if I wasn't expecting you to surprise me or give me a gift, and now I've just gotten this pleasant experience from you, I have to change the way I think about you and maybe our whole relationship.
How is it different if it's a win the lottery kind of surprise or if it's bad news surprise?
All surprise, from what we know in research from a neuroscientist called Wolfram Schultz, is that surprise intensifies our emotion by about 400%. So if it's a positive surprise, we're going to feel so much more positive emotion than we would if we had expected it. If it's a negative surprise, we're going to feel a lot more negative emotion than we would have expected it. So surprise is an intensifier.
You know, when I was thinking about talking to you, I thought to myself, all right, is lottery a good example? And I couldn't really tell because it's my suspicion, and I've never won the lottery, so I don't know. It's my suspicion that everyone who wins the lottery expects to win because they don't necessarily expect at that moment to win, but they expect to be a winner. And so on some level, it's sort of not a surprise when they win.
It's a really good point. I think it's kind of like a cognitive statistics game. So the more you expected, the least you're surprised, or the less you're surprised. The less you expect something, the more you're surprised. I would imagine, though, that the odds of winning the lottery are so low that you're always going to be surprised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I would say that, you know, the fact that our minds first go to something like the lottery is an important indicator of how we think of surprise as a society. We think of it as something huge. And actually, surprise can be tiny. It could be something like noticing something out the window, an interesting tree, and all of a sudden it just captures your attention. It still gives you that boost of dopamine. It intensifies your emotion and intensifies your concentration.
And you really did co-found Surprise Industries?
I did.
That's
not a prank.
It doesn't make jack-in-the-boxes or something like that.
No. So the idea behind Surprise Industries is giving people more access to surprise on a regular basis. So at Surprise Industries, you can sign up for a small surprise adventure. You can have a surprise sent to your home. At Life Labs New York, where I do training with Leanne Renninger, who's the co-author of the book, we train people in the science of surprise and how to apply it to their work.
What are those TEDsters in the audience who seem to kind of know everything? It might be hard to surprise them. They seem to have been everywhere, done everything. What's it like to give a talk about surprises to the TED folks?
Oh, I love the TED folks. You might think that they actually have been everywhere, done everything, but I think what's unique about that community is that they are so hungry for surprise. They are paying pretty good money and spending a lot of time just to soak up anything unexpected and unfamiliar to them. So, you know, I might be biased, but I love that community. I think that the reason TED has become so popular is people's need and desire for constantly changing their perspective, expanding their worldview, being intellectually surprised.
And there's a lot of talk at the TED conference about, you know, entrepreneurial innovation, surprising ideas. Is that close to what you're talking about, or very different from what you're talking about?
So closely related. I think about surprise in two perspectives, embracing it and engineering it. So on the one hand, you have to train your brain to be more comfortable accepting surprise. And by that, I also mean surprise readiness. So being comfortable with uncertainty, ambiguity, change, especially these days, that's an incredibly important skill, even if you're not an entrepreneur, even if you're just working in a company that's experiencing a lot of change. On the other hand, you also have to learn how to engineer surprise these days. So how do you, as an entrepreneur, as a
build
marketer,
it into a company, yeah, build it into a workforce.
Exactly. Even as a teacher, you know, how do you get people's attention and delight them so that you get them curious and excited about what you have to offer?
Now, how did you get involved in this personally?
Oh, boy. My sister, Kat, and I came up with this idea just really like in our mother's kitchen, spur of the moment. We don't really get along, but we get along really well when we work together. And so we said, what would happen if we designed a company where people would show up and they had no idea what to expect until they got there? And initially, we weren't going to call it Surprise Industries. It was initially called Go Learn Something. And the idea was you might learn kayaking, you might learn how to do fire eating, but you won't know what it's going to be. People hated the name Go Learn Something because they were like,
yeah,
learning algebra.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So then we hit upon the name Surprise Industries, and it really took off. And at the time, I hated being surprised. I loved surprising others. I hated being surprised myself. So part of my journey of surprise has been learning about the value of it for myself and learning how to let go and be surprised, not just surprise others.
Now, why did you hate being surprised yourself? And what experience sort of, typifies that?
The feeling of being surprised?
Or the negative part of it?
I think it's the feeling of loss of control, the feeling of vulnerability. For me, I think as a kid, I had experienced a lot of change. And my coping mechanism was, I'm in charge. I control everything. Nobody controls me. I control, you know, the world around me. And so I was protecting myself emotionally from those negative surprises. But what I've learned is that through that kind of coping mechanism, I was also keeping out joy, wonder, emotional intensity. So it just had this very like mild existence rather than really enjoying the ups and the downs for all they have to offer.
You know, a lot of people say the worst thing that they can imagine is a surprise birthday party or a blind date, that sort of thing. It sounds like Surprise Industries is about getting you a little bit over that, recognizing and, understanding that you're the kind of person who doesn't want too much surprise, but you need a certain amount of dose of it. How do you deal with such people before we go?
I think that for people who are uncomfortable with surprise, like I was, and in some ways I still am, it's all about teeny tiny bursts of surprise. So what little thing can you do that's unexpected for yourself? What conversation can you have with a stranger for 2 minutes that'll allow you to just stretch your comfort zone a little bit, embrace the joy of not knowing quite what's going to happen? I think it's all about small steps, small doses.
So should I tell you about the big spider on your chair?
I'm delighted by the fact that you worked in some kind of surprise. I would have been disappointed if that didn't happen.
Tanya, thanks so much. Tanya Luna is co-author of Surprise, Embrace the Unpredictable and Engineer the Unexpected. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.